May it please the court. My name is James Cruz, and I represent the appellant in this case, TD Industries. This case involves a multi-million dollar project for the energy reduction of a facility, and there are claims of negligence related to a fire. This appeal involves the application and construction of an unambiguous statute designed and intended to protect engineers and architects from frivolous lawsuits. The specific provisions is Chapter 150 of the Texas Civil Practice and Remedies Code, and specifically 150.002 of the Texas Civil Practice and Remedies Code. And that requires that a certificate of merit be filed for negligence claims against a professional engineer or architect that implicate or arise out of their professional services. In this case, TD Industries filed a motion to dismiss pursuant to that section, and the trial court denied the motion. We're on interlocutory appeal as permitted by the statute. In order for the statute to be triggered, there are three requirements. Number one, that it's an action for damages other than the payment of fees. Number two, that the person or company is a licensed or professional under the statute, which would include an engineer or an engineering firm. And number three, that the allegations arise out of the provision of services. The first two elements in this.
Any services?
I'm sorry?
Any services or engineering services?
Of professional services.
Professional services.
Yes, ma'am.
So if you hire an engineer as a cook and they poison you, you can't sue them?
If it does not implicate his professional services. So
professional
in that instance,
services as a chef.
Most likely, under the facts given, no, it would not.
So it has to be professional services as an engineer.
No.
No.
Just professional. Well, under the statute, it would be professional services as an engineer, architect, or land surveyor.
Okay. So limited to those professional services, not just any professional services.
Correct.
Okay.
And. The first two are not disputed in this case, and I will address them should, you know, the court have any questions. But those were the action for damages other than the payment of fees, and that TD Industries, or as I'll refer to them as TDI, is a licensed or registered professional. The only factor in dispute in this case is the third one, whether the allegations as alleged implicate the provision of professional services or arise out of the provision of professional services. In this case, there was no timely filed certificate of merit concerning TDI. There was a certificate of merit filed concerning another engineering firm that worked on the project, and that's EYP, but it was not filed with the original petition.
Does it matter that the statute has been amended?
Yes, Your Honor. With regard to the amendment, in this situation, the 2005 amendment applies. The 2009 amendment was after this cause of action accrued or arose. So the 2005 amendment applies, and
that's the one we're looking at.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you.
With regard to the factor in dispute, courts have determined that the test is to ask whether the allegations, as alleged, arise out of or implicate the engineering knowledge or training of the professional, which, as Justice Dauphineau pointed out, would be architect, engineer, or land surveyor.
What about the fact that there's that admission in the request for disclosure that TDI didn't have any engineering or design obligation with respect to the CityCorp project?
Yes. What that is there are several factors with regard to that. Number one, the statute itself does not consider or permit the trial court to review discovery responses. Number one, if it did, there would be it wouldn't require that the certificate of merit be filed with the original petition. And it was this court that actually determined that language, that the language is with the original complaint. Number two, we are denying responsibility. I mean, that is the statute does not require that the defendant admit the allegations against it. And in this case, we're denying that we did provide engineering services.
Well, aren't you taking inconsistent positions then, saying that we provided engineering services, therefore they have to have the certificate of merit, but we didn't provide any engineering services? I mean, your admission seems to be inconsistent with your position here today.
The allegations that they have alleged against us, if true, implicate engineering services.
They say they don't. That's why there's no certificate of merit, because they say they're not alleging engineering deficiencies. They're alleging that you didn't do something non-engineering that you were supposed to. They agree with you on that,
and
that it wasn't engineering.
And, Your Honor, where we look to figure out if the allegations that they've alleged implicate engineering knowledge and training would be in their petition.
Wait a minute. Knowledge and training is different from services.
I'm sorry. The test goes and it talks about professional services, but then with regard to that test, they look to determine whether it implicates engineering knowledge, training, whether the allegations themselves implicate the knowledge and training. And that would be there are two cases that discuss that. There's Curtis v. Windham Architects, and that talks about the gist of the complaint. And then there are others look to, and this court as well has looked to, the occupations code and this, the practice of engineering in the occupations code is defined as very broadly, but it discusses what is engineering, and one of the things it says is if it implicates engineering knowledge and training. So of the courts that have looked at any of these issues, they have talked about whether it implicates the knowledge and training. With regard to the pleadings, the facts alleged in the petition are assumed to be true. And in this case, we look at the facts alleged in the petition. And what they allege in the petition is that EYP, the other engineering firm, and TDI are both negligent for the same reasons. They both failed to check back pressure and test field conditions and verify back pressure. And they failed to perform an exhaust system back pressure test following a retrofit. Everything that they're alleging against EYP that they're saying is engineering, with TDI they're saying, well, that's not engineering. And if we look at their facts or at their pleadings and we assume those facts to be true, the allegations that they're saying what they're saying that we were required to do in our installation implicates engineering services and knowledge and training. Then if we look to the hatch number one, which is their certificate of merit, in that Mr. Hatch says that the engineering work includes the same things that they're complaining about us not doing. And then if we look at the brief of the appellees, Citicorp, on page 11, they admit that TDI and EYP have similar standards of care. Well, with similar standards of care for engineers and professionals, such as engineers, the standard of care is different from an ordinary layperson. It's a higher standard of care. So in order to have that standard of care, they would have to be performing some sort of engineering service. Then if we look, TDI filed its motion to dismiss, it also attached an affidavit of Stephen Cantor. They weren't required to file this affidavit, but in cases where a certificate of merit isn't filed regarding you, you do have to put on some evidence to show the court, we are, you know, what we say we are. We're an engineer. And in this case, Mr. Cantor.
Is that in the case law?
No, ma'am. And this is, no, Justice Walker. This is actually what I have looked of the cases. There are three cases that have a timely filed certificate of merit where they look to determine, is this, you know, did they follow the requirements that we've set forth? And then there are others where there is no certificate of merit filed. In those cases, it is a situation where, because there was nothing filed, somebody has to go and actually set the tone and explain what is going on.
So that's just, it's just case law arriving at that procedure.
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you. We're kind of in a novel area here. There's not a lot of case law on this procedure or the certificate of merit at all.
Well, so. Yeah, there are about 20 cases. There's 26, I think, that cite the statute, and about 20 that actually even remotely deal with it. With regard to this particular situation, Menendez v. Walmart is actually an instructive case out of the Southern District of Texas, and it's instructive because it's somewhat similar to this case in that case, the defendant went and gave an affidavit. There was no certificate of merit filed. The defendant put forth an affidavit to the court stating that they were a professional, licensed or registered professional under the statute, and explained that the allegations that have been alleged against us arise out of or implicate our professional services, the provision of professional architecture or engineering services.
Okay, I'm still confused. How can you, on one hand, say this involves engineering services, and in your admission say back pressure testing was not TDI's responsibility on the installation, nor did it have any engineering or design obligation? I mean, how can you have it both ways?
And we're not having it both ways, Your Honor, because we're looking at the allegations that are alleged against us. Essentially, we weren't required to test the back pressure. They are saying that our responsibilities should have included all these other engineering services. And we look at their allegations and say, if those are true, then that would be engineering. And in this case, we're not required to perform those. And the back pressure testing, you know, it is not simply plugging something in and reading anything. I mean, it requires engineering know-how and mathematical skills and you know, knowledge and training of those systems. These are complex generators, which I've never seen, but it's my understanding that these are very big and they're certainly complex.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say the statute seems to require that the certificate of merit be filed with a complaint.
Yes, ma'am.
So what happens after that isn't really controlling, is what you're saying. Whether there's discovery or request for admission or the case evolves or the allegations evolve, because the certificate of merit is required at the time the complaint's filed.
Right.
So you're saying it's like the medical expert affidavits and reports that have to be filed when you file a medical negligence suit. It has to be filed. That is required within so many days of the complaint, but you're saying all we look to is the four corners of the petition and the four corners of the certificate of merit, if there is one filed, to determine whether the statute has been complied with. Or am I wrong?
No. You're correct in that you would look at the allegations that have been alleged in the petition, and if a certificate of merit has been filed in a certificate of merit.
So how do we know whether the petition is alleging a failure of engineering services or whether it's alleging something outside of engineering services? And in a Med-Mal case, you look to see whether it's providing medical services, and in some cases they've held that it is, in some cases they've held it isn't. What do we look at in a petition involving engineering services to determine whether the petition does indeed allege engineering services as opposed to non-engineering service provided by somebody who happens to be an engineer?
Well, in this case, a comparison of the allegations of what EYP was negligent for and a comparison of those same allegations compared to what they're alleging that TDI was negligent for are one and the same. And ultimately, to answer the questions that both Justice Walker and Justice Stefano have proposed, is it's a determination for the jury at the very end of the case to determine whether we had that obligation, the engineering obligation, whether we were required to do it, whether we failed to do it. But what all we are asking is that the statute, which was intended to...
But how do we look at the petition and know whether it's alleging engineering obligations or non-engineering obligations on the part of somebody who happens to be an engineer? I mean, does it have to do with your response, your answer to the petition, if it's got to be filed with the petition itself? I mean, how do we tell by looking at the petition?
Just simply by looking at the petition, because it is outside of, I mean, it is outside of anybody's, you know, a judge who might not practice engineering and know exactly what would be implicating engineering services. If there's no certificate of merit filed, you would then need to look at the affidavit that was presented to explain that they do implicate engineering services. And in this case, hatch number one actually says that the same things are engineering work. And then the affidavit of Mr. Cantor goes through and explains that if those allegations are true, then they implicate engineering knowledge and training and would require engineering services.
I've got a question or two to ask you, too, and your time is out, and I'd like for the clerk, if you will, to keep track of the time we're extending here, and we'll afford Council for Appalachia's additional time to respond also to questions or just to have the additional time for making the presentation. The appellee contends that paragraphs 21, 23, and 24, shown on page 2 of the appellee's brief, are the allegations that are in the petition as to what were the source of the negligent conduct or the wrongful conduct on the part of TDI. Do you agree with that? This is 21 and 22 says, 21 is the selective catalytic reduction, SCR exhaust scrubbers retrofit was installed and performed by TD. That's true, isn't it?
Your Honor, we're to take every allegation as true.
All right. I'm talking about on page 2 of 2 of Appellee's brief. And then we look at 23 is talking about all of the defendants, or three of the defendants anyway, and their agents' employees were responsible for, among other things, verifying existing back pressure conditions and field conditions of the exhaust system prior to commencement of the selected catalytic reduction exhaust scrubber retrofit. Now, can an ordinary person, just off the street, or just an ordinary, any kind of construction person, have the skills and the understanding to engage in a verifying of existing back pressure conditions and field conditions without engineering training? I mean,
I would, in this particular case, in order to do it, it would.
You need engineering training in order to go out and understand how to do those things.
Yes.
And the same thing with paragraph 24, where we're talking about the plaintiffs and all three of the defendants and TD would be responsible for, among other things, testing and verifying back pressure conditions within the exhaust system.
Yes.
I mean, is that to me, that's jumping out at engineering skills.
In order to know how to test, in order to know how to verify and what you're verifying it with, it's not just one number. It is basically.
And when you look at the statute of one 50.002, and it says that if it is any action arising out of the provisions of professional services by a licensed or registered professional. That's the place where you're contending, I believe, that this jumps into that statutory protection based on what's in the pleadings in these three paragraphs and the fact that they had an engineering, had a certificate of merit addressing EYP that is treated the same way or as close to the same way or in these allegations in the same way as to its services.
Yes, Your Honor.
What is the significance of the provision in the Occupations Code that addresses the definition of the practice of engineering, and then the legislative fiat at subsection E, where it's stated by the statute that any person, sole proprietorship, firm, or corporation that engages in or offers or attempts to engage in conduct described by this section is conclusively presumed to be engaged in the practice of engineering.
Yes, sir.
Do you view that as a legislative direction and fiat that what we're looking at, if you have these persons that are licensed as engineers and this question of back pressure testing and the analysis of the verifying back pressure conditions within an exhaust system. If you're following those things as being engineering and this statutory mandate that it's engineering, I mean, where are we? We're going to follow what the legislature's telling us.
Then there's no other choice but to dismiss the action, and in this case, with prejudice. And if I may address that as well.
Well, now you've addressed that. I have one last question for you, and that is, what's the grounds for your seeking attorney's fees? Any attorney's fees in this action? What is the statutory authority or otherwise any reason for there being any entitlement to attorney's fees? I'm talking about in your prayer on page 20, grant TDI such other further relief for law and equity which is entitled to receive, including but not limited to, if applicable, recovery of reasonable attorney's fees. I want to know where you get that authority.
Well, unlike the medical statute, this provision doesn't have a specific provision allowing for attorneys.
I didn't see that. The reason I was asking you that, Mr. Cruz.
Yes, Your Honor. It doesn't have a specific provision.
All right. Thank you for answering my questions. Any other questions of the members of the panel? Thank you, sir, for your answers to your questions, and you'll be afforded a rebuttal time when we finish. And, counsel, you'll be given additional time for your presentation.
Thank you.
Add the time to the amount of time that were given for Mr. Fisk.
Okay. How much time?
6 minutes. Four.
This is not an exact science, Mr. Fisk, and so hope you understand when we have further questions like that, we do sometimes run over some.
Sure. May it please the court?
Yes, sir.
A few things, or one thing to address at the outset is the three requirements that counsel for TDI mentioned. One, it has to be an action for damages. We don't dispute this requirement of the statute. Two, that the defendant needs to be a licensed or registered professional. We don't dispute that. The third requirement that he mentioned, that the allegations implicate or arise out of the provision of professional services, I think that is a requirement that we do dispute. I think the first question that needs to be addressed is whether or not the defendant is a licensed or registered professional. And that term is defined in Section
150.001, and we believe that TDI does qualify under that definition. The second question that we believe needs to be addressed is, did the defendant actually provide professional services? Now, what the statute, the relevant portions of the statute actually says is, the plaintiff is required to file a certificate of merit in any action for damages arising out of the provision of professional services by a licensed or registered professional. This language, as the Court of Appeals for the Third District of Texas noted in Consolidated Reinforcement v. Carruthers, is expressly limits the requirement to actions arising out of the provision of professional services. So the question that we're faced with is, if a defendant does not provide professional services, then how can you be required to file a certificate of merit and a claim against it? Because although TDI seems to be insinuating here that it's solely an engineering firm and that all it can do is provide professional engineering services, I don't believe that's the case. An engineering firm can provide other services. As an example, would be an HVAC company who could either has a professional engineer in its employ, therefore it could be registered with the Texas Board of Professional Engineers, but at the same time, it could just be asked to install an HVAC sit-in air conditioning system. It could also be asked to provide engineering services and design the system. Depending on what service that company provides would be the basis for whether or not a certificate of merit is required to be filed in an action against it.
How do we tell from looking at the petition that you are not alleging professional engineering services?
The allegations that that CityCorps has alleged in our petition are that TDI provided the installation of this emissions control system as part of the retrofit project, and that it owed a duty to exercise prudent and ordinary care in the installation of the equipment. We haven't alleged that TDI provided or performed any professional engineering services related to the project. The only professional services that were provided that are alleged in the petition were provided by EYP, which, and even the claims that have been alleged against EYP, they do not necessarily implicate the provision of professional engineering services.
So you're saying from the petition, the trial judge should be able to tell that you don't have to be an engineer in order to install this system and do the proper testing?
I believe so. And I don't think in a case like this, and I'm not sure a lot of the case law addressing Section 150 that's out there has been focused on this specific issue, which is probably why we've been granted additional time to talk about it. But I don't think the court's limited to just reviewing the petition.
Well, if the certificate of merit has to be filed when the petition's filed, why would anything else be relevant?
I mean, it's our position that TDI did not provide any engineering services, and they've agreed with that in their responses to requests for disclosure. I mean, it's clear in this case that EYP, who has an engineering contract and actually provided engineering services related to this retrofit project, they provided professional engineering services. And the allegations that are made against TDI and EYP, as has been noted, are similar in certain respects. And there's a reason for that. It's because they've both provided and performed work on this same project. The key difference is...
It's kind of, why would you hire an engineering company to do non-engineering work? In other words, why would you hire a doctor, to use Judge Dovno's example, to bake a cake when you could hire your next-door neighbor? I mean, that doesn't seem to... Seems like if you're hiring an engineering company, that you would be hiring them to do engineering work.
And I think that's... I mean, that's what's been done here. And the allegations against EYP, it's in the petition, there are allegations that arise out of the provision of engineering services. The allegations against TDI arise out of the performance of these installation services that they provided on the project. The key difference, and I think the most important distinction between the allegations against TDI and EYP are that EYP, CityCorps, we have alleged that EYP failed to verify and perform the calculations that were necessary to determine compliance with the specifications for this generator. That's not alleged against TDI because, if anything, those could be considered professional engineering services. The Hatch affidavit, I think, makes clear that simply connecting the pressure gauge to this exhaust system and reading the results of it does not require a professional does not require a licensed professional engineer and involve the mathematical, engineering, and physical sciences. What is required or may be required as far as those specific sciences are concerned would be performing the calculations to make sure there's compliance. And we're not alleging that TDI should have performed these calculations. We're alleging that TDI should have, once it did install this emissions control system, should have performed this test to see what the back pressure conditions were, turned it over to EYP, and they could have, finished the calculations to determine if the back pressure was exceeded.
Mr. Fayez. You all, as a plaintiff, chose to make the allegations that you listed on page 2 of your appellee's brief. And it's your statement that those are the same paragraphs, 21, 23, 24, that's in the original petition, the amended petition, first amended and the second amended. So I'm taking it that the allegations that you put in your brief there are the allegations that were throughout your pleadings and were your live pleading. And it's also my understanding that the record is in agreement that there was no certificate of merit filed as regards TDI.
That is correct. There was not a certificate of merit filed.
And so our question before us as a court is not whether there's a compliance with the filing of a certificate of merit, because one wasn't filed.
Correct.
And so the issue is only, was there one required?
Correct.
And that boils down to very little case law helping us to decide if the allegations that are made in the plaintiff's pleadings, that the duty that plaintiff would show that EYP, Miratech, and TD, and or their agents, employees or representatives, were responsible for, among other things, verifying existing back pressure conditions and field conditions of the exhaust system prior to the commencement of the selective catalytic reduction exhaust scrubber retrofit. Now, how is that allegation to be read as not requiring these special skills to understand how you would calculate existing back pressure conditions and field conditions, but for having that be a part of the arising out of a professional service performed by a company that is licensed and registered as a professional engineering firm?
What's on page 2 of 2, I do not believe are all the allegations that are asserted against TDI. They also continue on page 3.
Yes, sir.
Of the brief.
I read the rest of it, too.
And I said a minute ago, the key distinction here is that we're not asserting that TDI should have performed any calculations, which is the one thing I think that could be considered an professional engineering service. Simply reading the results of a pressure gauge, I don't think requires those mathematical and engineering skills.
That's sort of like back pressure on a swimming pool. When it's time to backwash the pool, you look at the pressure gauge.
I've never owned or maintained a swimming pool, so. But.
Mr. Fisk, why not file a certificate of merit at the start and avoid any issue or question about this?
Because TDI did not provide any engineering services, so it was not necessary.
Well, if you know when you start that you're dealing with a firm, and I saw all these attachments that were made that are internet attachments about various things that that TD Industries was putting on the internet, but there's not any dispute in the case that they were a licensed engineering firm and had been for many years. That correct, isn't it? And that they were being contracted in this matter to help with the installation of a very complex piece of equipment and machinery.
Their job was to install, I guess, what could be considered an engineered work, as been cited in the occupations code, that
yes.
provision about what all are examples of services that include engineering services.
Well, I'm thinking that Citgo feel like that you needed to hire a firm that was a specialized engineering firm if you didn't feel like that was what you needed in order to do the installation properly?
Because they don't, even though they have engineers employed with their company and are registered with the Texas Board of Professional Engineers, they provide a myriad of other services other than engineering services. In this case, they didn't. They provided the mechanical installation of this equipment. EYP provided the professional engineering services on this project.
Okay, if we look at, if the certificate has to be filed with your petition, and if in their response to admissions they said we didn't provide any engineering services, does the trial judge look at their statement that they didn't provide any engineering services in determining whether they should be dismissed as defendants because there's no certificate? Or is the trial judge limited to looking at the pleadings in the petition? If the trial judge is limited to looking at the petition, then how does the trial judge tell from the petition whether you're alleging engineering services or not alleging engineering services? Is it enough that they call themselves engineers? I know it's multiple questions. See how you do with them, and if you need me to repeat part of it, I will.
Yeah. Just because a company or entity or person is an engineer, I don't think that doesn't meet the plain language of the statute to require a certificate of merit at that point. I think we're dealing with a unique situation here in that there are two licensed or registered professionals in this lawsuit. So there was a certificate of merit filed against the one who we allege actually provided the engineering services, and there wasn't a certificate of merit filed that addressed the claims against TDI, who we're alleging provided the installation services.
So let's say the trial judge says, I don't see anything in the petition that says you're alleging engineering services. And so when you get to trial, then does what goes to the jury depend on whether they say, aha, this was engineering services, it's not in the lawsuit, and therefore what goes to the jury is only non-engineering services? Is that where we are?
I mean, I think we're at a point in this litigation, where we've conducted some limited written discovery, not gotten to any depositions yet, that I think in determining whether or not a certificate of merit is required, the court can look outside of the petition. I mean, it can't look at the certificate of merit because there's not one, if there's not one that's been filed. I think the Texas rules of civil procedure allow responses to requests for disclosure to be admissible as evidence. So that's one thing a court can look at. If there have been depositions taken, that testimony might clarify whether or not this actually implicates engineering services. And in their motion to dismiss, they attached the affidavit of their employee, who's an engineer, who basically makes the statements that what they're alleging we should have done are engineering services, but he doesn't ever explain how those services that are alleged, connecting the pressure gauge to the system and reading the results, implicate those mathematical, engineering, and physical sciences training and education.
So it's conclusory? Just a conclusory affidavit?
It's a verbose affidavit that kind of just repeats the same thing, that these allegations arise out of the provision of engineering skills and duties, but it doesn't explain how. I believe the affidavit we filed in response, which is TDI has attempted to characterize as a supplemental or amended certificate of merit affidavit, kind of goes against that and counters that, because what Hatch said in his affidavit that we submitted as evidence in response to the motion to dismiss is that these services are not professional engineering services, and all it essentially entails is connecting a pressure gauge and reading the results. And we're not alleging TDI performed any calculations or had to confirm that.
So you're saying you don't have to be an engineer to tell whether the arrow is in the red or the green?
Right. You just have to read the number on the gauge.
Okay. So you're saying that you just alleged a straight negligence cause of action against TDI?
Since our brief has been filed, there have been other causes of action. I guess the petition has been amended to allege breach of warranty and breach of contract causes of action against TDI.
Okay, but right now, as it's before us, it was you're saying you just pleaded a straight negligence cause of action, right?
Yes.
All right, so when you have a negligence cause of action, the standard is a reasonably prudent person in the same or similar circumstances, right?
Yes.
All right, so if you have a reasonably prudent person in the same or similar circumstances, wouldn't that require also to be an engineer, because you would have the only way a reasonably prudent person could be in the same or similar circumstances would be if they had all the knowledge of a licensed engineer, because that's what TDI has, right? So even if you went to the jury on a straight negligence cause of action, the reasonably prudent engineer standard is still going to be pulled through, because no one can be in the same or similar situation as TDI, even when they do the installation, other than a licensed engineer, because a licensed engineer in an installation might notice something different than just an installer. They might see something, they might be held to a different degree of care because they're a licensed professional engineer doing an installation instead of simply an installer doing an installation. See what I'm saying?
I think the standard of care here is what a reasonably prudent installer would have done, not an engineer, because TDI did not provide any engineering services on this project, as they admitted in their responses to requests for disclosure. In our position, and we're still early on in this litigation, is that TDI should have connected pressure gauge to the system and read the results, turn them over to EYP to run the calculations and do the engineering services on this project.
I understand that's your position.
Well, who actually is, does the record reflect who did, well, of course, we're early on, we don't know. Did you allege that just TDI did the installation, or that TDI installers did it, or that TDI engineers did it? I mean, is there anything in the petition that shows?
I don't believe so. I believe it just says that TDI performed the installation of the retrofit.
Okay.
Mr. Fisk, does not the allegations in paragraphs 23 and 24 that's on page 2 of your appellee's brief, the tying together EYP, Miratech, and TD, do those allegations not purport that the skill necessary to conduct those verifying of the existing back pressure conditions and field conditions and testing and verifying back pressure conditions within the exhaust system are requiring skills beyond merely a construction person who might be installing according to plans and specifications?
I do not believe so. It's the calculations and the work that goes beyond the verification that would require the engineering, know-how or training.
Okay.
Not the actual verifying what the back pressure is. It's just
I understand on page 12 of your brief, you're addressing the question that I asked counsel a moment ago about the language that is in 1001.003C9, which is requiring a conclusive presumption that you're engaged in engineering if you're licensed and listed as one of these things that are for which a license is required under the occupational code. You understand my start here? And so what I'm trying to understand is if you know that this person is required to have this kind of license, and if the legislature is saying that if you've got this kind of license, then you're conclusively presumed to be engaged in the practice of engineering, how do we ignore that legislative direction or fiat in attempting to arrive at whether or not the language in this petition required a certificate of merit?
I think we've also cited to section 1001.055 of the Occupations Code in our brief.
Yes, sir.
Which deals with the installation, repairing, and servicing. We made the analogy to the, air conditioning company, but also specifically talks about diesel engines in that section, and it says that they don't have to meet the licensing requirements for work of that nature.
Your position is that 101.055 exempts out the requirement of a license for a person who is merely installing.
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you, sir. Anything further? Any other questions? Thank you for your presentation, sir.
Thank you.
And Mr. Cruz, you have rebuttal.
Texas Occupations Code 1001.055, which was just discussed, that is an exemption to a licensing requirement in the Occupations Code, a licensing requirement for a engineer. And by its very, by the very statement in of that statute, that means that that work implicates engineering knowledge. They're just not, they just don't require licensing with regard to that. Now, in this case, TDI is licensed, and if you would look, or if looking at 1001.003, all of the non-exclusive examples of engineering, those include the very same things that are alleged in the petition. We have.
But if TDI was working under an engineer, another engineering company, which was the engineering company in charge, then why don't they fall under 055 if they're just doing the installation, et cetera, pursuant to the supervision of the engineering company in charge?
If that were the case, even the 1001.055, because there's an exemption, it necessarily means that the legislator is of the opinion that that work does implicate engineering. They're just
right.
saying,
but
that
somebody else is engineering.
I'm sorry.
The engineering company in charge, not the installer.
Okay.
It's just a question.
Yes, if that were the case under the statute itself, as long as it arises out of a professional service, there is not a. I understand what you're saying. A supervision, and then somebody
else is in charge of the engineering. Your company, although there's an engineer that works for the company, your company was hired just as an installer, not to provide engineering services, working under another engineer.
And the allegations here are not, nowhere in the petition does it say they installed it bad. You know, they screwed this in the wrong place. They are talking about that we failed to verify and test back pressure conditions before and after, and things that are outside the realm of you know, simply installing. And I don't believe that, by saying simply, that installation is a simple process. And I would submit that the test is always to look at the allegations. And the allegations in this case do implicate or arise out of professional services.
Even though your responses said it didn't.
Because we're looking at what they're alleging we were required to do and did do or omit to do under.
And you're saying what you were required to do didn't involve engineering.
Correct. What they are alleging that we were required, that we had engineering responsibilities. But we did not have engineering responsibilities. I mean,
installation responsibilities.
Well, we had, I don't know I'd have to review what that said. I mean, what I do know is in the record is that it's the allegations that they alleged, number one, implicate professional services, but they're alleging that we were required to do with regard to installation. If that's the case, then installation requires engineering in this case.
Mr. Cruz, you cited 1001.003 of the Occupation Code, and you've attached that as tab C of your brief. And I'm wondering how the language of the definition of practice of engineering here it includes the at paragraph C9 a reference that it is the practice of engineering that the practice of engineering includes engineering for review of the construction or installation of engineered works to monitor compliance with drawings or specifications. Now, so if that's what happened, if that statutory definition applies, and if what is alleged against TDI, it requires the kind of experience to handle a review of conditions and back pressure and existing construction conditions. We seem to be dovetailing a number of statutes into one determination of shouldn't they have filed a certificate of merit and shouldn't it have complied with the Civil Practices and Remedies Code of 150.002.
Yes, they were required to file a certificate of merit at the upon filing their original complaint. And
any other questions? Thank you for your presentation, sir. Thank you both. It's been a very effective argument, and your case is submitted. And
thank you. Thank you very much.